Welcome to the meeting. And before we begin the speech, take up your sutra book and make this gesture as in veneration. And repeat after me the second page.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
南无本师释迦牟尼佛。
南无本师释迦牟尼佛。南无Root Guru Shakyamuni Buddha。南无Root Guru Shakyamuni Buddha。
开经偈：无上甚深微妙法，百千万劫难遭遇。我今见闻得受持，愿解如来真实义。好。The English part, the sutra opening gatha. Gatha means verse. Repeat after me, or read after me. The supremely profound, everybody together, the supremely profound, wondrously sophisticated Dharma is hard to encounter in millions of kalpas.And now that I am able to hear, read, and uphold it, I wish to comprehend the real import of the Thus Adventist. Thus Adventist is a holy epithet of the Buddha. Please release your palms. And we are going to continue with our explication.Of this sutra. This sutra is supreme and profound Mahayana sutra about wisdom, about the most important wisdom, which is called prajna in Sanskrit. 这个这一部经呢，如我上次所说啊，两次所说，这个是关于波若。金刚波若就是佛的最高的智慧，也就是我们学佛所要学的东西，就是智慧。我们为什么要学佛？就是要开智慧，因为开智慧才能断烦恼，才能得解脱，才能证菩提。所以the reason why we need to get the Buddha's wisdom is by means of the Buddha's wisdomWe would be able to break all the annoyances and break through all the impediments and to get ourselves liberated and then to be enlightened and ultimately to get Buddhahood. So that's our final goal. So this is...Assuredly, the real and the most important goal or aim in practicing Buddhism. Otherwise, they are all just peripheral. They are all just peripheral activities or doings, not the real ones. But this is the real practice of Buddhism.所以学习波若智慧，就是佛智慧啊，是真正学佛。其他的呢，所有的你所有的活动，宗教活动，全都只是活动，都是跟佛智慧没有直接的关联。那它可以有间接的这个关系，但是那只是结缘，那只是跟佛法结点缘。可是真正的，你直接就指导这个。佛的智慧里面，那你就是直接的，就真的就是直接 contact，first contact， 直接的学佛。So this is you go right through the core of Buddhism. So you don't go around, you know, go you don't go around with some distance from the center. So you don't do some artificial or superficial circumferences.Around the center of Buddhism. So This is direct practice Buddhism. So it's hard, it's profound, it's difficult, but it is the real thing. It is the most important thing. But sad to say, it is losing now. But fortunately, and you people are very fortunate to hear me tell you about this genuine Buddhism. So, therefore, I'm also very happy to have this opportunity to offer to you and share with you my understanding and about the Buddha's supreme wisdom and the way of practicing it. So let's get along with it. And because our time is very hard pressed, so I need to go a little faster, okay, today. 因为时间很有限，所以我要今天讲的要快一点点啊。但这一部分又是非常的重要 ，OK。Last time, we've been through with the first segment. Now, starting with the second segment on page 4, as usual, I will start with the Chinese part, and please bear with me. 善现其行分，这是第二分啊，也就第二个 part 啊。十长老须菩提在大众中，即从坐起，偏袒右肩，右膝着地，合掌恭敬而白佛言：昔有世尊，如来善护念诸菩萨，善护主诸菩萨。世尊，善男子、善女人发阿耨多罗三藐三菩提心，云何应住？云何降伏其心？到这里为止。十 at that time 啊，在那个十就是那个时候，长老啊，长老有三种啊，一种叫生年长老，生就是你生年月日那个生年啊，就说你有的人也许他出家没有很久，但是他年纪很大，就是生年长老啊。然后有一种叫戒腊长老，戒腊就是说你出家以后过了一冬就一个腊啊，过了一个冬天就叫一腊。那所以人家问你说请问法师你几腊了？几腊就是你出家受戒几年了，所以叫戒腊，懂吗？你受了戒以后才有腊，不是说吃了腊八粥就有腊了，OK， 所以那个腊就是腊八粥的腊了，但是这个腊不是腊八粥，而是你过了一年 anniversary for your precept 这样子，受戒一年的纪念日，那个时候就有一个腊这样子。然后还有一种是法。所以这个就是等于是你在佛门里面的那个资格啊，达到20年，出家20年以后就称为戒腊，达到20年就称为长老。那这么说来啊，我出家已经24年了，所以他们也很多人都称我长老，但是我实在不喜欢老，OK， 像最近有一个单位啊，他们请这个就说要护持人去读经，然后要请教长老问题啊，那个长老就是指在下，但是那他们跟他再到大毗卢寺，那他们说长老现在不在，在美国，所以你看时间过得很快，我已经变成长老，又长又老了，哎呀，真是长得这么老啊。另外一种就是法性长老。法性长老就没有问你，不看你说你出家多久啊？你有的你出家3年，然后就开悟了，然后证道了，那就是长老了，对吧？所以是看开悟证道，那就是证的法性，就是法性长老啊。然后这个须菩提啊是长老啊，那他是既是这个戒腊长老，也是法性长老，因为他证了菩提了。证了道了嘛，证了阿罗汉道了。那须菩提呢是解空第一，所以他是
这一部《金刚经》里面的当机啊，在大众中即从做起，偏袒右肩，就是我们穿袈裟哦，是两边都披着的，对哈，就然后在那个小圣呢，就要如果要跟佛问话或是请示的时候，要把这个右肩给拉下来，像我们这样子，我这个袈裟就是这样的，右边有没有空的？那这个就是偏袒右肩，所以表示一种最大的礼，这样的啊。所以我穿袈裟的时候，我们穿袈裟这样子是说，第一个是表示对佛尊敬，然后第二个是表示对法尊敬，第三个也是表示尊重在座大众，这样的啊，在座四众啊。右膝着地，这个我们右膝着地啊，这个就是像这个西洋人呢，他们不是一只脚跪着吗？啊，所以我们中国人是两只脚跪着，叫长跪。那一只脚跪着呢，所以有些这个经典里面也讲叫胡跪。为什么胡呢？因为是西方啊，印度人是西方，所以叫胡跪啊。所以胡跪不是胡乱跪哎，就是西方人的跪法，也就是右膝着地，懂吗？啊，合掌恭敬而白佛言。所以问法的时候一定要这个长跪或是右膝着地合掌恭敬问法。那我们现在的佛弟子不是啊，问法的时候乱问，你知道什么一随时，比如说走路也问啊，然后坐车的时候在后面也问说，哎，师父请问怎么怎么，然后师父要回答你又要这样子扭过去，那答了一阵子以后这个脖子就扭到了啊。好，所以这个问法一定要有那个规矩啊，一定要面对面啊，不能说你在师父旁边，你在师父后面，然后这样也在问法，然后一边走路也不行。这个问法讲法一定要两个人都是坐下来，而且面对面，这样子 OK。 所以记得了哈，以后不能乱问了，然后也不能站着问，你知道吗？那如果是师父站着，你要跪着，知道吧？那不是说师父伟大，当然师父也是相当伟大了啊、哦。那是主要是法伟大，你是尊重法，你是在求法请法，对不对啊、哦？所以要跪着问啊，这所以这个求法不是那么容易的，是吧？因为这个法这么高，这么贵，这个你自己想头想破了都不可能讲得到，对不对？好，I have spoken much enough Chinese. Let's go to the English part. Segment 2. The request for exposition, which means some of the monks was going to ask questions of the Buddha. The text, please. At this time, Elder Venerable Subhuti arose amongst the assemblage, bare his right shoulder, genuflected with the right knee on the floor, joined his palms reverently, and addressed to the Buddha. At this time, which means after the Buddha has put away his bowls and washed his feet and arranged for his meditation mat and sat on meditation. And Elder Venerable Subhuti, there are three kinds of elders in Buddhism. One, age. One who is aged or senior in life. It doesn't matter if he became a monk very late, but right now he is senior, advanced in age, so he can be called elder. But of course, this is not the genuine elder. Okay, just by the advancement of years. So it's just a respectful address. And the second is after one has taken the vow of priesthood for 20 years, so and he would become an elder. And right now I have taken the priesthood precept for 24 years now. So some people are beginning to call me elder. I like to be an elder, but I don't want like to be old. But everybody supposes that an elder is an old guy, which I'm beginning to be. And venerable, and then the third kind of elderhood is one who has attained sainthood in Buddhism, like in Hinayana or Mahayana, or one who has been enlightened. And it doesn't matter if he is young or old, if he has been a monk very long or short. Maybe he has become a priest for only 2 years, but he has already been enlightened. Then he is called an elder in the Dharmic essence. In Dharmic essence. So elderhood of Dharmic essence. So there are these three kinds of elder. Now, Subhuti is one of the 10 great disciples of the Buddha, and he is renowned for his wisdom, for his prajna wisdom, which is just the topic theme of this sutra. So he is the object audience of the Buddha in this sutra. So so he is rightfully qualified for asking questions about prajna, because it is his expertise. And Venerable Subhuti arose amongst the assemblage meaning a congregation of the Buddha's disciples, including lay people and priests. And there are four kinds: the male and female priests. The male priests is called bhikshu, and female is bhikshuni. And male lay persons is called upasaka, and female is called upasika. Okay, so that's Sanskrit. So there are four kinds of people in the congregation, and it is altogether called an assemblage. Bear his right shoulder, because our dharmic robe is called kesak, and it used to be worn on both shoulders. But if you want to show your respect to the Buddha, and you need to bear your right shoulder, like I'm doing right now. And genuflected with the right knee on the floor, which means nailed down with the right knee on the floor. And this is the Indian way of kneeling down. And join his palms, joining the palms meaning single-minded, concentrated, and respect also. So so it's got these meanings. Reverently and addressed to the Buddha, and then spoke to the Buddha. So when a person asks questions of the Buddha or a master, there is some formality or etiquette to follow. So you cannot just talk in informal conversation that are dead, you know, and like gossip like this. May I ask you, Master? That's not very good. So you need to do it very respectfully. And so usually you the student or disciple needs to be in front of the master, and also preferably both are seated. And so you don't ask the questions when the master is standing and you are standing, or you both of you are walking, or when driving in the car and the master is in the front seat and you are in the back, and you ask the master and the master need to turn around to tell you until his neck is sprained. Okay, so that's not very good. So it's not the right way to ask questions about Dharma, you know, because Dharma is very respected, very profound. So we need to show some respect for it. So, and the most formal and most respectful way of asking a question about the Dharma is that the master is seated, and you need to stand up and make a prostration or three prostrations, and then on your knees, and then join your palms and ask the questions. So it's the general way. So it's tough to you people now, but it would make the Dharma more wonderful, you know. Because the Dharma is sublime. So addressed to the Buddha, spoke to the Buddha. Now we revert back to the Chinese part. 西有世尊, 因为世尊就是佛的一个圣号之一, 啊, 那佛有十个圣号, 这世尊是其中一个, 如来也是其中一个, 啊, 那为什么称为世尊呢? 因为佛已经证到, 无上菩提, 是, 而且福慧都圆满, 所以呢, 值得所有的一切世间的人呢, 这个尊重, 所以称为世尊, 一切世间皆得尊重，皆得尊敬，所以称为世尊，啊，所以这个古代的翻译大师呢，翻译的太好了。这个世尊这么一翻，我们初学佛的人不知道这个来源呢，以为这个世尊就是我们中文的中国的，对不对？啊，那不知道这个是翻译，啊，这翻的太好了，啊，如来善护念诸菩萨，善护主诸菩萨，如来就是也是佛的尊称啊。 所以佛很善于啊，很会这个护念菩萨。护念的意思是什么？护念其实就是加持的意思，加持啊。所以我现在就是因为要讲的快，所以我就这个写的少一点啊。这个护念是这个显教的讲法，那密教就讲加持啊。那菩萨呢？ 菩萨就菩提萨埵，就是在佛之下啊，也就是在佛法里面是第二个等位的这个修正啊。那善护主诸菩萨啊，护主呢就是教授，而且把他的这个志愿呢告诉他说，你必须要绍济我的这个志愿。那佛的志愿是什么？度众生嘛，对不对？ 所以你要学佛，要学我度众生，所以不能说我教了你，然后你有一身武艺了以后，哎，然后天下武功第一，然后你就什么都不管了，这样子，哎，你学了佛法以后，有了智慧，就要去度众生。 这样才不会辜负佛的恩德，对不对？就好像佛好像是父亲一样，这个父亲交给你很多东西，然后把他的遗产交给你，然后让你很有钱，结果呢你就自己享受，然后弟弟妹妹都不管了，这样的话，哎，那就辜负了佛了，是不是？被佛大恩了啊！所以佛付出什么，菩萨干什么，必须要度众生。OK 啊，所以我这个法给你啊，我这个法给你 ，it's not for nothing， 不是说没有没有条件的，有个条件就是你要跟我一样用这个法来度众生。所以我不是说我这个法给你，然后就到你那里为止了，然后你就自己享用就完了，这样是不对的，对不对啊？所以老爸把遗产给你，结果你只有自己受用，然后弟弟妹妹你都不管了，这样可以吗？这不行的嘛，是不是 ？OK， 所以佛他不只是教授，而且教授这个诸菩萨，而且还护念加持诸菩萨，令他能够完成学业，完成道业，然后能够继承佛智度众生。OK， 世尊，善男子、善女人发阿耨多罗三藐三菩提心，云何应住？云何降伏其心？善男子、善女人，就是我们普通讲说善男信女，对不对？哈，但是这个善男子、善女人不是善男信女，哎。这个善男子善女人，什么叫善男子善女人？就是一般的男子叫男子，但是要受了佛戒的人才叫做善男子，也就是有受持佛戒，就是五戒、八戒、十戒啊，然后这个比丘戒、比丘尼戒叫善男子善女人，来自于菩萨戒叫善男子，男的就善男子，女的是善女人啊。那为什么叫这个善呢？这个善是佛所称的善，是这个格调这个比较高啊，他的那个 qualification 比较高啊，所以不是说你哦这个做好事情就叫善男子，不是，你要能够这个修法，然后去贪嗔痴啊，修戒定慧，这样才叫做善，在佛法中的善。所以这个佛法中的善是这个等级是很高的，这样的话啊，所以有持佛戒修佛法的这个善男子善女人发阿耨多罗三藐三菩提心，如果你要翻成英文的话，这个发阿耨多罗三藐三菩提心，要把挂号挂起来，形容前面的这个善男子善女人，也就是什么，这个是后位修饰法。什么叫后位修饰？也就是说 The good men and good women whohave generated， 这样的吗？所以是后位修饰，也就是说翻成中文就是说应该是怎么样，成次序是说已经发了阿耨三藐三菩提心的善男子善女人，这样的吗？所以这个善男子善女人不只是善男子善女人，而且是已经发了阿耨多罗三藐三菩提心的人才叫做善男子善女人。不是，就是说善男子善女人很广，但是这个是特指 the people who 怎么样，对啊、哦，已经发了阿耨多罗三藐三菩提心的这种人呢，这种善男子善女人啊、哦，云何应住？云何降伏其心？那什么叫阿耨多罗三藐三菩提心呢？阿耨多罗 anatara 是无上的意思啊、哦，三藐正等，三菩提正菩提，那无上正等正觉就是这个无上正等正觉，或者就是说无上觉悟啊、哦，无上觉悟，或者就是说无上菩提，简单一句话，无上菩提就是阿耨多罗三藐三菩提，这梵文就很麻烦，阿耨多罗三藐三菩提啊、哦，那这里因为要庄严他，所以就因为他意识很多，所以造翻。所以发阿耨多罗三藐三菩提心啊， 你们可以在你的经本里面把那个发画起来啊，然后心就圈起来画起来，简单一句话就是发心啊，然后再多一点点就是把那个菩提也画起来，就是发菩提心。所以什么是发阿耨多罗三藐三菩提心？简单讲就是发菩提心。然后发什么菩提心？发大菩提心或是无上菩提心，这样子啦。OK， 那什么叫发无上菩提心呢？就是想要成佛，不是想要成佛，是决定要成佛，决定的，不能今天决定的，明天不决定。明天为什么？明天因为要去做 interview， 所以暂停一下。那后天呢？后天因为要去 vacation， 所以也暂停。所以发阿耨多罗三藐三菩提心就是发菩提心啊。那为什么要发菩提心？那我跟你讲，这一段是非常非常重要，就是等于是在英文写作里面叫 topic sentence 啊 ，topic sentence 怎么样呢？把这一部经的主旨提出来了啊。为什么呢？就是说，云何应住？他已经就是说，他已经发心了以后，云何应住？住就是住在佛法里面学习啊。然后降伏其心，怎么样调伏自己的心？调伏自己内心里面的种种的污垢啊，除障，净化自己的心。这叫降伏其心，这样懂吗？所以我跟你讲，你虽然看了很多《金刚经》的注本呐、乃至于《金刚经》53家注本，都不见得讲到这里。所以你搞了半天还不知道什么叫降伏其心，但我现在一讲，你就懂了，对不对？好便宜啊，对不对 ？It's cheap， It's not just cheap， it's free of charge 。好，所以。云何应住？住在法中，怎么样？云何就是怎么样？如何住在法中，然后修行？那如何调伏自己的心，净化自己的心，叫做降伏其心。OK， 啊，那这句话问什么？也就是说，简单一句话，须菩提问说：如果有人已经发心求菩提，他应该怎么修行？就这样子，这问题大吧，太大了。我已经发心要修行了，怎么修？就这样子。那怎么修？就是说，怎么样依法而修？就住，就依法而修。然后降伏其心，怎么样把那个法？怎么样去住？就是修法。你看呢？多半的人会念经，但是不知道那个经在哪里。念了经，经是经，我是我，没相关。念完经了也就 OK 了，下课了，功课完毕，收拾书包回家去。住是什么意思呢？住就是修法。云何应住？怎么修法？啊，想怎么样进一步？你这个是法对不对？如何修法？然后想。纳法于心，把那个你所修的法放在心里面，然后用那个法来整理你的心，来调伏你的心，来改变你的心，来净化你的心，这个叫降。OK， 所以这是 two stages 两个步骤，所以一般人就是第一步就完了，对不对？住，可是也不见得住啊。修法是修法，修一修不住了，为什么？因为要翘家了，你知道吗？离家出走啊。什么叫住呢？住就是不搬家，你懂吗？住就是住在那里，然后不搬家了，就是得在法里面得绿卡，永久居留权。好，这叫住，懂吗？但是我们都不是呢，我们都是学法修法都像偷渡的一样啊，临时打工，然后越境打工，打工完了就跑掉了，赚到一点点钱就回去享受了，这样的，是不是这样子？是这样子，对不对？那申请绿卡，没事儿，就不干这个事，我还是这样跑来跑去的，这样比较自由， 啊，所以永远是 alien， 永远在佛法里面是 alien。哎，那你若新申请绿卡的话，那就是变成居民了，永久居留了，永久居留在美国了，然后就是变成佛法的一员。哎，所以就在住，啊，那住里面以后，然后住了以后，这个是大的，然后小的降。这个降是什么？降就是你依这一个法再去细细的再去做细部的调整。这降就是调整 ,regulate。所以这一段话就是最重要的话。啊。稀有世尊，世尊您非常的稀有，你非常的难得，怎么样呢？您会这个不但加持菩萨，而且啊还教他们怎么样能够继承佛智，就富足诸菩萨就能够继承佛智。这个教他东西是一件事，可是让他继承佛智就难了，你知道吧？这孟子说，善歌者令人记其声，善教者令人记其志，就是这样的啊。所以善教者令人记其志，所以如来是善教者，所以能够令菩萨记其志。那这是如来最主要的功德，也是最主要的主德主业，什么呢？教化菩萨。如来要教化我们的，教化众生，当然要教化一切众生，但是他最主要的工作是什么？教化菩萨。你知道为什么？因为教了一尊菩萨呢，就可以这个菩萨就可以辗转教授很多很多众生嘛，是不是啊？所以你看这个美国那个有很多的有名大学，对不对？但是有名的大学啊都是怎么样？都是研究所最很强的，不是 undergraduate 强，而是 graduate school 强，对，的培养这个顶尖的硕士博士，这个才是好的大学。好，同样的佛的这个大学也是一样，教授菩萨，以教授菩萨为主，教授菩萨，这些菩萨就是等于在佛的这个学校里面他是 PhD， 全都是 PhD， 然后 PhD 出来他就是教授了，他就可以教很多学生嘛，是不是啊？所以佛就好像一个将领，一个元帅，他会教很多的将领，那将领去带兵嘛。好，所以这个佛教授菩萨以后，然后这个善男子善女人呢，这些善男子善女人如果说他发了心，发了菩提心，想要求菩提，应该怎么样修行啊？ OK， Sorry for the waiting now, and let's go on with the English part. Your world veneration, this is a holy epithet for the Buddha. The Buddha has 10 holy epithets, which all stand for the virtue and wisdom that the Buddha has attained. And why is the Buddha called world veneration? Because the Buddha has attained the highest, the supreme wisdom and virtue, so that he deserves the respect from all worldly people. So, he is called world venerated. It is such a precious rarity that the last Adventist has been so very well mindfully protecting the Pusas. It is such a precious rarity. It means that the Buddha yourself is so precious and so rare that you have been so mindfully protecting the Buddhas. Protecting meaning empowering. Okay. It, on the surface, it just means protecting. But in the meantime, he put the empowerment over the Pusas. What's a Pusa? It's the second stage of attainment below the Buddha. The people, the holy people who are right under the Buddha. So, right under the Buddha, there are four hierarchies in Buddhism. The first one is the Buddha. The second one is Pusa. Pusa is the Chinese version. I just transliterated. The Sanskrit is Bodhisattva. But Bodhisattva, you see, so many spellings, you know, and it's so hard to pronounce. And I would say very few people would know how to pronounce it, including Chinese people. When they see this, their head becomes 3 times big, you know. So, but if the great masters in the past translated all the way down just Bodhisattva, then I would say, and I'm convinced that Buddhism would not be so popular in China. And so we abbreviate it, you know, we always do in Chinese. So, but not just Chinese, in English, in Japanese, everywhere. We shorten things for our convenience. For instance, UN or US. You don't always say the United States, you know. And so we abbreviate it as PUSA. So it's so much easier and so much endearing, you know. And so endearing that like another epithet, 世尊, we have come to consider it as our Chinese word, you know, or term. So almost all Chinese or Chinese speaking people, if they did not research on Buddhism very deeply, they would think Pusas are Chinese, and the term Pusa is Chinese, you know. Of course, they are mistaken. It's Sanskrit, and it is an abbreviated Sanskrit, and it's been abbreviated very well, and I like it. So I just translated from the Chinese version. In the hope that this term, one of the most important terms in Buddhism, and the one of the most important idea in Buddhism, can be popular in the Western world. You don't have to say, always say Bodhisattva, Bodhisattva, and you will say Bodhisattva, because you don't know the V is pronounced as wu, you know, like in Latin or in German, you know. And so it is Bodhisattva, and they are aspirated H. It's so hard, and there are two T's. You don't know how to pronounce it, right? So it's so difficult. So I make it easier for myself and for you and for all the people, you know. So I'm in the good hope of hoping it that it could be popular before I die. Unfortunately, I was told time is up for the first class. Okay, let's take a break.